We'd like to invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church this Sunday for worship. We are committed to preach through the Word of God. We are committed to Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Again, those worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Half of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. What you are about to hear is part two of a message that we began airing yesterday called Jacob's Tale of Woe from Genesis chapter 47, where Jacob looks back over his life and struggles only to see the few and evil days, as he says it before Pharaoh, of his life. And sometimes we do that. We look at our decisions, we look at the consequences of the choices we've made, and we feel the painful consequences of those things, the burdens of those things, and we're unable to see in the midst of them how much God has delivered and helped us. This is a message that orients us correctly to the goodness of God in the midst of conflict and affliction and sorrow. In this life, there's no place better to go than to look at the life of Jacob to see the wonderful goodness of the Lord. Psalm 107, oh, that men would thank the Lord for his goodness. That's what we're going to consider today on Abounding Grace Radio. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, the website is agradio.org. We invite you to visit the website, download the podcast, write to us. There's a form there to submit right online. And also, if you desire to support us, if you are blessed by Abounding Grace Radio, please remember it takes a great deal of time, money, and resource to do this, to bring this gospel message to you. If you're blessed, we encourage your prayerful and your financial support to continue to be a blessing to others. You are a part of this. And if you have, we want to thank you for all of your prayerful and your financial support. You can do that online, or you can call us at 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. Here is part two from Genesis chapter 47, Jacob's Tale of Woe.
Is it true that his life was few and evil? His days were few, and that his life was an evil life? Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. From a human perspective, it's true. It's true. His years were few. Well, he doesn't know when he's dying yet, does he? He has no idea how much longer he's going to live. So that's not really something he can say at this point. Are they evil? Here's the truth. Here's the truth. In every circumstance, God had been with him. Never left him. That was his promise at Bethel. And the whole way through, God had been turning everything for good. When he damaged the relationship with his father, when he hurt his brother, God reconciled it, brought him back together on the deathbed, remember? Made Jacob confront his brother face to face. When he was in Haran and he was on the run and he was doing his own thing and he schemed, Uncle Laban had schemed and worked him a good one, the schemer working the schemer. Remember what happened? God turned the whole thing back around for blessing on Jacob, and he left with more flocks than he had ever dreamed of. And then God fills him in that land with 12 sons whom God loved. When his sons slaughtered the Shechemites and Jacob's scared to death, about the inhabitants of Canaan going to kill him. It says, the terror of the Lord fell on all the land of Canaan and all the Canaanites so that they were scared to death of Jacob. God took a giant shield and surrounded his life. God would, at his lowest moment, speak to him in chapter 35. I'm changing you. I'm changing your name. It's no longer Jacob, but Israel. And all the land that I ever promised to Abraham and to Isaac, I'm giving it all to you. And then the last chapter, Jacob goes to Egypt. God comes, as soon as he's standing there on the border, heading out of the land, God comes and talks to him as a father does to his child. And the Lord says to him, Jacob, I'm going to be with you. And here's what I'm going to do for you. Your son, whom you lost for 22 years, I'm going to sanctify your death. And he'll be the one that will stand there and put his hand over your eyes. That's remarkable. Do you see all that the Lord has done for you? Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Listen to this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Just say it. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from east and from the west, from north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would thank the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that they would just do that. Because they don't do it. And for his wonderful works that he does to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul. And he fills the hungry soul spiritually with goodness. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. This psalm just keeps saying it. And for his wonderful works to the children of men, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction. He makes their families like a flock. Whoever is wise will observe these things, it says, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now Jacob saw every bit of those things. Tell me about your life. Few and evil have been the days of my life. Are you kidding me? Is that what you want to say? Is that your witness? When you get to sit in front of Pharaoh and God gave you that? What's your attitude in the midst of hardships? See, now that turns right to us. Are you bitter? Are you sitting here this morning distressed? Are you anxious? Oh, life's this and that, and everything's gone against me. Let me press you even harder this morning. Of God's overwhelming goodness. If you follow this, I think you'll take this and you'll meditate upon it all day because it's so wonderful. Maybe I'm assuming too much. I did. How old does he say he is to Pharaoh? 130. Few and evil. When does he die? Few. Well, if you look down at verse 28, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. Now, why does that matter? What is God telling you? Well, do the math. He came to Egypt at 130 and died at 147, giving him 17 years. Why is that significant? 17 years. How old was Joseph when he was sold into slavery? 17. God gave it back. Gave him 17 more years to enjoy his long-lost son. Oh, that men would thank the Lord for his goodness. My life is hard. Come on. He's good to you. Do you see it? The other day I was in my 12th grade Sunday school class, and we talked about the goodness of God. We're going through the attributes of God. I love studying the attributes of God. And they were really moved by this. And it was something that Burkhoff said in his little book on the summary of Christian doctrine. And I thought it's worthwhile just to read this short paragraph. Listen to this. God is good in himself. His goodness is that perfection of God which prompts him to deal bountifully and kindly with his creatures. It is the affection that the Creator shows and feels towards the frail creatures he has made. I just love that. Affection toward you and all of your frailty. I don't care what you're going through. The wrong response is few and evil has been the days of my life if you have Christ. If you're a Christian, you've got everything. And he's turned it all for good, and he promises you he will. And here he is sitting in front of the world's most powerful leader. What opportunity? What do you say? I'm reminded of the demoniac that was cutting himself in the tombs, and Jesus frees him, and the man comes back sane, and he comes to Jesus, and he wants to be with Christ, and Christ says, "No. I want you to go out and tell the Lord the wonderful things that God has done for you. It's your witness. It's what we do." And we evaluate things that way. You know, this is the kind of response and witness and perspective that a Christian should have when he knows that he has the gospel. Remember what Joseph said? I don't want you guys to be angry or grieved with yourselves because you did these things. I don't want you to do that. God sent me before you to preserve life. There's something so crucial here to understanding the forgiven life. And we think that God still holds something against us. Our disposition then is to remember those things. In fact, what is going to happen as soon as Jacob dies, if you go to chapter 50, Jacob dies. Listen to chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and actually repay us for all the evil that we did to him." And Joseph had said, "No more grief or anger over what you've done to me. I've forgiven it." Do you see the struggle of people to believe forgiveness of sins? This plan has unfolded, and they're having a hard time of believing how good this situation really is. And you do that when you're in the pit. I do that. And here's the thing. God's been there your whole life. If you're a believer, he's been with you. He's loved you. He's helped you when you cry out to him. He forgives your sins. He lifts you out of the pit. Promised you a good end. That's not a tale of woe. That's not a tale of woe. If God himself said to you today, and you believe this is God's word, that all who confess Christ, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he cast away, so far has he done what? Removed your transgressions from you, as far as the east is from the west. If God has cast them into the heart of the sea, why are you trying to pull them back up? It's like trying to raise the Titanic. He's dealt with them. And here's Jacob. Immediately after the joy of receiving his son, sulking. Now, I'm going to speak out of the other side of my mouth. I think there's some really positive stuff here too. Which really does display the complexity of this figure and the complexity of somebody who I think is ADD. They didn't have that diagnosis back then. He's a piece of work, but I'm so encouraged by what I see here. And that's why I emphasize at the beginning, Jacob, I have loved. There are bits and pieces of something that you put together here that you do see faith. What do I mean? How old are you? I'm 130. No, that's not how he said it, did he? The days of my sojourn are 130 years. Ah, there's a word. There I have something. I've got something. Described elsewhere as a pilgrimage, described elsewhere as a temporary place, this word meaning. Why is that important? Because this was always the language of the household of faith. When he left for Haran, all those years, and then came back, and he sojourned outside the land, and he came back to the land, and now at the end of his life, he's leaving the land again, and he's never really been home. I don't know if you feel that. But one thing I know as Christians that you start really experiencing as you get older is a sense that I have nothing permanent here. He's going to die outside the land. And isn't it something that at the end of his life, we see something shining here, that as he's looking for something permanent that he's come to realize it's not in this life. It's not even in this particular land. That's all a shadow of what God's promised me from heaven. When the New Testament describes the life of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, over and over and over, it keeps telling us something about their lives. It's this. They confess that they seek a homeland. But it was not the one they came out of. But they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You might stand back and say, well, I get that. I know that. We know our home's not here. But the text is really emphasizing something that surrounds Jacob's confession before Pharaoh, Jacob's blessing. We'll get to that. It's this. There is a great danger in them coming to Egypt that they would be assimilated into Egypt. And in Joseph's mind was the concern that if they moved into mainstream Egyptian life, they would be buried in it. He wants them outside of it. He wants them in Goshen. And so he has this plan. He says, listen, you have to tell them that you deal with livestock and that you're shepherds. And so you have that whole section there of where they say that. They go to Pharaoh and they say that. Why? because that separated them right there, because Egyptians hated and were abomination to them were shepherds and those who dealt with livestock. So they go before Pharaoh and they say this, we are servants and we deal with livestock. Please let us stay in Goshen. Why did all that matter? They had secured for themselves a place separate from mainstream Egyptian life. Now, what is that teaching us? That we should live in our own little communes? No, that's not what that's teaching us. They were never to become one with them. In other words, the whole picture of their time in Egypt was that of a sojourn. 400 years, yes, but a sojourn. Goshen was out to the east. It was this little plot of land that when God would bring them out, they would be out quickly. He would deliver them quickly out of there and bring them into the land of rest, milk and honey, which is teaching us about our removal quickly from this world at the right time, being brought into the eternal land. Why is this important this morning? Because the Lord wants to tell you something. He's telling you, we don't belong here. The Bible pictures you all as travelers passing through and on the way learning God's goodness to you. And the Lord never wanted them to forget who they were. And that's why marriage was so important. That's why their separate identity and being separate was so important. You know, the best way you can express your love for the Lord going through and gratitude for His goodness? It's this. Don't love the world or the things in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's all passing away. The end of all things is at hand, and He's got something way better. Egypt is presented to us as a whole picture of living in the world. Jacob sees this, and in one of the worst moments of witness comes one of the brightest moments of understanding, which is what made this a challenge for me. Undisputed, the most powerful ruler in the world, even to this day, we're still in awe of the pharaohs of Egypt. And here's this aged old patriarch, God's chosen one whom He loved. And what do you read twice to close out this section? He blessed Pharaoh. It's all backwards. The sense is, Jacob's words invoked God's favor upon this man. You could imagine him. Maybe he raised his hands. I don't know. But I know this. What was the promise of the Abrahamic covenant? You will be a blessing to all the nations. God won. Here is this man blessing the most powerful of all nations. The man who, and here's the twist, the man who at the beginning of his life stole blessings is at the end of the life giving blessings. In you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And you know what all this foreshadows. It all tells us of the Son, the true Son to come, who would be faithful in His house over all things, who would pray for His sheep that they, even though they were left in the world, that they would not become one with the world, but that they would be preserved and kept in the world, had a big concern for that. This Christ who loved and who kept and who preserved. And through His whole life, even though He probably had a right to moan because everything that happened to Him was unjust, beaten, stripped, hated. Never once did He complain. But for the joy that was set before Him because of His love for you, endured the cross. And today you sit here with the promise of eternal life, God's love, his relentless grace, his long suffering, his forbearance, his kindness. It's all we've ever known. And the knowledge of Christ and the perfect sacrifice. And the text closes out this morning. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And that's what he does for you. Have you forgotten that in the midst of being in the pit? Remember today the wonderful things that the Lord has done for you. Oh, that men would thank the Lord and praise him for his goodness. Giving you the best of the land, giving you his son. One day he's going to situate you around the throne of grace forever. Oh, tell the wonderful things that the Lord has done for you. Imagine a Satan. I close with this statement. Imagine a pilgrim who demonstrates joy in all circumstances, speaks of the wonderful things that God has done for him, and becomes a blessing to all those around him. You'd have one of the most powerful witnesses in a child of God. Jacob, I've loved. Does that mean anything to you? Jacob, I've loved. If he could love Jacob, he can love you. Come to Christ, believe in him. You'll know that kind of love, and you'll forever stand as the most blessed man to live on the face of the earth.
Well, as always, we're thankful you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. We want to direct you to our website at agradio.org to download these podcasts, what you just listened to, Jacob's Tale of Woe, Part 1 and 2, and many other resources there for you at Abounding Grace Radio. You can also call us at 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. Until next time, thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all of its glory, continue to richly bless you.